Good morning, everybody. And I'm excited this morning to get to share a little bit. If you're going to follow along in the blue Bible this morning in the pew, again, we encourage you, if you don't have a Bible at home, grab one, take it home with you, read it, write in it, do whatever you need to do. Invest in yourself. It's the most important thing we can do as followers of God. This morning, we're going to be looking at John chapter 9. So in that Bible, it is page 644. So you can turn there now if you would like to get where we're going. We're continuing our Initiate series this morning on starting powerful conversations that lead to being able to share what we know and God. The first week, we took a look at relying on the Holy Spirit, that it's God guiding us and moving in our lives. The crazy part is when we begin to ask God to open opportunities for us to be able to share, it happens. In the midst of this series, the first week when Brian challenged us to, I was like, all right, God, open up some doors. And there have been more the last 2 weeks than I've had in like the last 2 years. If we're willing to ask and invite God to move in our lives, he will, and he'll provide opportunities to do so. The second week, we looked at earning the right to be heard. Again, one of the things I think Christians are most guilty of is just starting right off the bat of talk, and it's a lot of times on deaf ears. But if we take the time to serve and to love and to care for people, suddenly the ears begin to open up, and also this crazy thing happens. People begin to ask questions and give you the right and the ability to then talk to someone who's willing to listen and engage instead of us just bashing and talking when they're not even interested. Today is one of my favorite parts of the entire series. Again, that's why I chose to speak on it this morning, because as a culture, nothing beats a good story. When a good story comes out, we grab it, we listen to it, we talk about it like crazy, and it kind of becomes part of our culture for a little bit, and we'll talk about it. I coach baseball on the JV team at the high school down the road, and so the season started, and spring training started as well for the majors, and so for me, baseball is coming around, and that makes me happy, but for me, it reminds me of one of like the greatest stories that I know. When I was a kid, I'm a Yankees fan, so there's this guy, Derek Jeter. Yeah, exactly. And one of the things most captivating about Derek Jeter was this. He somehow always managed to put the exclamation point on everything. 3,000 hits is a huge milestone in baseball, and his 3,000th hit was a home run. His last game at Yankee Stadium, again, it was a tie game in the last inning, and his last at-bat ever as a baseball player, and he hits a walk-off hit to score the winning run. And everything he always did was like the perfect ending to a story that you dream of as a kid. When I was a kid, I would go out in the yard and dream of getting game-winning hits and making huge plays, and he continually did that every time. He stood out so much because he always put the exclamation point on the story. This week, NFL free agency also started. Great time for sports, if you can't tell. And again, that reminds me of the Giants and their great Super Bowl victories. And again, one of the greatest stories you'll ever hear is of David Tyree, who grew up in a bad area, got in a bunch of trouble, but football kind of got him going in the right track. And then he came to understand and know who God was. And this week, they ranked the greatest catches of all times in the NFL, and his was number one. And it helped the Giants win the Super Bowl that year. And even crazier, we were picking up vans to go on our youth rally a couple weeks ago. And there's a guy with a Giants jacket in there. And we were kind of talking to him about church and what we do. And he's like, you guys don't look like pastors. And we're like, good, we like to hear that. We're just normal people. And I was like, nice jacket, by the way. And he ended up being friends with David Tyree, and I was like, this is crazy. And we ended up talking about the story, and when you begin to relate over stories, it begins to pique interest and give you something to share and talk about. Even this week, I came across a story of a lady who was in Whole Foods shopping, and she's on her way out, and she gets a phone call that her dad had committed suicide. And at that moment, she collapsed. Her world was completely shattered and broken. And it's crazy. All these strangers in the store began to rally around her. One person grabbed her phone and called her husband to get him on the way to care for her. She mentioned somewhere that she had a friend who worked at the store, so another person ran and got her and brought her to be able to care for her. Another person bought her like a $150 gift card and handed it to her and said, hey, your next week's going to be really chaotic. here's a gift card this way that you can buy meals for your family and be able to take care of them. It's stories like that that grab us and get our attention, kind of restore our faith in humanity a little bit at times as well. We love good stories as a society. Good stories draw people in. Good stories speak volumes, speak hope, speak purpose, speak meaning. And we love sharing stories like this. Today we're going to take a look because every one of us walks in with a powerful story like all of these. Today, when we entered here, we're all carrying with us a story. Up to this point, we have had things in our life that have shaped us, defined us, and created the story of our life. And today, as God works in our lives, he begins to give us a story to tell. Today, every one of us in this room has a story to tell. And the sad part is, as we talk about initiate and leading the conversations, a lot of us are never going to share the story. We forget, we neglect, we decline to, we're fearful, we're embarrassed, we're timid. And the sad part about this is we have no problem talking about great vacations that we've gone on, good movies that we've seen, great sports stories, good vacation spots. These are all things we love sharing and talking about, no problem at all. And yet when it comes to the greatest and most significant story that can ever be told, and that is God working in our lives and moving and changing us, we're quiet. We get scared. We minimize and limit the significance of our story. And when we do, we are missing out on the greatest opportunity that we have. We're missing out on the opportunity to point people to who God is. See, every time God works and shapes and influences our story, it gives us an opportunity to point people back to who God is through our lives and through our story. And we're missing out on sharing the most powerful thing that we've been given to share. And today we're going to pick it up in John chapter 9. Again, it's page 644 in the Bibles in front of you. It'll also be on the screen. But to get us, we're starting in verse 20. But before we get there, Jesus is walking along and there's a blind guy sitting on the mat and begging because he couldn't work or do anything like that. And so they would sit there and try and get some money that way. And so his disciples ask Jesus a question and they say, is this guy blind because of his sins or his parents' sins? And so people begin debating this. Why is this guy blind? There has to be a reason. Something had to happen. So they begin to argue kind of childishly or whatever, which kind of sounds like us sometimes when we begin to share our faith. We begin arguing over small things instead of pointing to the greater things like God and like that. And so it's interesting that that's what's going on in this story. And Jesus answers, actually, it's neither of these. It's so that at this moment, God's power can be seen in his life, which is an important thing that we're going to draw from a lot today. And so Jesus spits in the dirt, makes mud, and puts it on the guy's eyes, and he can see again. It's one of these stories where I'm like, why'd you choose to spit? That seems a little weird, but he could see at the end of it, so that's good. And so he tells the guy to go and wash his eyes out. Again, good advice, considering he kind of just spit in his eyes. And so he does that, and he comes back seeing. And again, as humans, it's funny what happens to this reaction. People begin to argue again. What's going on? Why did this happen? Why is Jesus healing him? He shouldn't have done that. Still, was he blind because of his parents' sins or his sins? What's going on? And people begin to talk. Isn't that the guy who was begging? How does he see now? What happened? Something crazy happened here, and we can't quite put our finger on it. And so they bring him before the religious leaders, and they start to ask what's going on. And the religious leaders naturally would be like, he just must not have been blind. He must have been pretending and acting and faking. That's the only way that we can explain this to happen. And so this is where we pick up right now in verse 20. And it says, his parents replied, again, because people are asking, who is this guy? Does anyone know if he was blind or not? And so the parents begin to speak on his behalf and say, we know this is our son and that he was born blind, but we don't know how he can see or who healed him. Ask him. He's old enough to speak for himself. His parents said this because they were afraid of the Jewish leaders who had announced that anyone saying Jesus was the Messiah would be expelled from the synagogue. That's why they said, he is old enough, ask him. Sound like us at all when we begin to share our faith? His parents knew that he was blind from birth. They're his parents. They've been taking care of him up to that point in his life. And at this moment, they were given a very distinct opportunity to speak up and say, no, Jesus worked and moved, and that's why he can see. But they very quickly instead decided to deflect it and be like, ask him, we want nothing to do with this. And if we're honest, a lot of times that's us. People will ask, hey, do you go to church? Or you'll like slip up somehow and mention something about faith, and they'll be like, oh, you're a Christian. You're like, oh, no, my bad. I don't know where that came from. And we simply try and deflect and point to other people. And again, that's the whole point of this series. Initiate. Leading the conversations isn't for someone else to do. It's for each and every one of us here to begin to do this ourselves. Verse 24, it says, so for the second time they called in the man who had been blind and told him, God should get the glory for this because we know this man Jesus is a sinner. And the man's response here is powerful. And he says, I don't know whether he is a sinner, the man replied, but I know this. I was blind and now I can see. But what did he do? They asked, how did he heal you? Look, the man explained, I told you once, didn't you listen? Why do you want to hear it again? Do you want to become his disciples too? We're just going to pray, and then we're going to take a look into this a little bit more. God, today we thank you for your word, that it's alive and living and speaks to us today. God, may you just open our hearts and our minds. Lord, meet us where we're at today. In your name I pray, amen. The man's response in this story is powerful, because it teaches us something very important when it comes to sharing our story and talking about who God is. See, a lot of times when we think we begin to talk about God, we think we need to have all the answers, everything figured out, and that we need to have it all together before we can begin to share who God is. And I love the man's honesty here. I don't know who he is. I don't know if he's a sinner or not, but I know that this is what he's done for me. See, I encountered him, and now I have the story of what he's done in my life, and that's all that I can share. Today, God gives us his story so that his power can be seen in our lives. We all face moments of brokenness and pain, and in those moments, God can rewrite our story and change our story completely. Jesus completely changed this guy's life. And there's something about life change that begins to get people's attention. Because this man's life was changed, people then began to ask, what happened? What's going on? And in the book we're basing this out of, there's a quote that I love and is really important and powerful. And it says, the key to connecting our friends to the gospel through our story is an authentic experience with God. Again, I'll say that one more time. The key to connecting our friends to the gospel through our story is an authentic experience with God. So you want to have a story to share? You need to have an authentic experience with God where he's changing you and giving you something to share and to talk about. At this moment, this man was blind and now he could see, and because of that, he had an opportunity to share something from his story that God had done in his life. Again, if we want to be able to share our story, if we want to be able to share and communicate who God is, we need to experience him ourselves first. So today, I simply ask, whose attitude do we have? Do we have that of the parents who make the excuses, who weren't even really excited over the fact that their son was blind and now could see? Or do we have the attitude of the son in the story who doesn't have all the answers, who doesn't even completely understand what happened, but he simply knows that his life was changed and he's willing to share and talk about it? And today this story tells us something about God. God is the great story writer and author. In your life, what has God done? When people ask, were you angry and now you're forgiving? Were you depressed and now you're joyful? Did you have relationships fall apart in your life but have been healed and restored? Were you addicted to something and now you've been set free? Maybe you are sick, but God has healed you. Maybe you lost someone close and you were bitter, but God has healed your heart and made you whole again. These are all stories that God writes in our lives. See, he changes a life of death and no purpose to that of hope and meaning. And every time he does that, it gives us something to share and to tell. And the greatest part is this. Everyone's story is different. Today, we all walk in with very, very different stories. My story is not the same as yours. And that's the cool part. It gives us all different mouthpieces of different parts of who God is. See, God was this for my life, but he might have been something different for your lives. But all that begins to do is create an awesome story of who God is. And the more that we share it as a group of people, the more people hear different things and parts of who God is and how he can work in different areas of our lives. God gives us a story to tell. And the reason for our story is so that we can tell it. It's not so that we can hide and be comfortable ourselves. It's not so that something can be made better in our lives and we feel really good about that and we go around and we're happy and we don't do anything with it. So today, I would encourage you to share your story. Do it. Don't wait. Because the potential of your story is endless. Every time you begin to open your mouth and share of who God is and what he's done in your life, the potential in that moment is greater and bigger than what we can ever think or imagine. Every time we begin to share our story, it gives the potential to change eternity. Every time we begin to speak what God has done in our lives, it plants seeds and gives an opportunity for God's word to take root in someone else's life that he could add the increase to. Not only that, but every time we begin to share our story, we have no idea what the impact can be. I begin to share what's going on in my life, and someone else is going through the same thing, and it begins to encourage them and give them hope when they think that there was no hope in that moment. Someone else is really struggling with something and they've tried a million different things and none of it has worked. And I share my story and they see that there's a God who can work in the midst of this and help them through it. Every time you share your story, it has the opportunity to bring life. Because if we're honest, our story is not about us at all, but it's about the one who wrote it. And the one who continues to write it. That from the beginning of time has made and had a plan to restore man to the right relationship with him again. And for whatever reason, he chose us to be his mouthpiece and the ones who share that. And so he writes in us that story of redemption and hope and life. And he gives us the opportunity to share it. And every time we do, it points people to God. Again, my story is completely different than yours, and that's okay. Mine's been kind of crazy. It started, I was sitting somewhere in those pews over there, and they had an awesome puppet show up here. And out front there is Route 31, and the whole point of the puppet show was disobeying God is like the rabbit who was running down 31 and made it halfway across the road and disobeyed, and then on the last half got hit by this huge truck. And I was like, dang, I don't want to be like that. I'll follow God. Yeah, that sounds pretty good to me. No one wants to get hit by a tractor trailer or anything like that. So, yeah, I'll do this. And at that moment, I obviously had no idea what I was even deciding or what it meant. And for me, I always had this idea that, like, following God was something that you do when you're a grown-up. Like, as a kid, just do whatever you want. It's fine. Just be a good person for the most part, and then you know God later, and that's cool. When I got to middle school, I had two moments happen where I was like, all right, life can kind of change suddenly. And I went for my physical to be able to play soccer that year, and they found this like growth in my ear that they weren't sure if was cancerous or not. And so I went through that whole process. And so made it through that and still was like, all right, I survived this. God's cool. He helped now, but that's still something that's later. And so the next year I was at winter retreat and got bashed in the back of the head with a rock. and broke my skull and got really close to putting the bone into my brain in a lot of different circumstances that really could have resulted in me dying. And again, I'm slow, so for me it took two opportunities to be like, all right, life is more fragile than I think. Maybe I should actually start investing in knowing who God is there. And so I began to actually engage him a little bit more, come to youth group a little bit more consistently. But in the meantime, my family was really close growing up. We all grew up on the same farm. And so most kids hung out with like their friends and people from school. I hung out with my family. Friday nights, I would go to my grandfather's house and walk through his sports memorabilia room. And he would tell me all the stories behind everything. And we would watch baseball together. Or I would come home and across the driveway live my great uncle. And we would watch this old TV show called Hunter. I don't know if anyone ever watched it, but I loved it. And he would teach me how to gamble. I mean, it was okay. I was only five. I really didn't know the difference. And we just used pennies. So, I mean, what's a penny, right? And but very quickly, it changed drastically. And I ended up losing both of them. And for me as a kid, I really had no idea how to process that or what to do. And very quickly, like, anger began to take hold of my life. And I really had no idea of even what was going on. And for me, it would come out in ways in like baseball and stuff like that. And I just thought I was being competitive, and that's what you do. And I remember getting to college, and it was our first scrimmage of the year, and flipped out on an umpire like I did a lot of times. And my coach sat me down and was like, hey, this isn't character of people who play on this team. And for you to act that way, there's clearly something deeper in your life that you need to take a look at and work on. And he walked me through the process of that, and slowly I began to work through the anger and the bitterness that had built up over time. And it's something that, if I'm honest, still goes back and forth. Since then, I've lost more people in my life and my family who were very close to me, and every time battling with that again. And in the midst of that, thinking that I had my life figured out, going into engineering and construction and landscaping, and instead, here I am today because I felt like God called me to do ministry instead, and battling with that of what I want versus what God wants for my life. But again, that's my story and what God has been to me. For me, he's been forgiveness and healing and softening of my heart when I do get angry and bitter. And for you guys, it's something different. But today we can all take the same basic steps. And the first one is this. Today, would you let God begin to write your story? Would you give the pen to God and give him permission to write the story in your life? For some of you, you have never even asked God to begin to work in your life. And so today it's a very simple and basic opportunity for you to say, today, God, would you come into my life and take my heart? God, I know that I've sinned and I've messed up, but I want you to write a story of hope and forgiveness in my life and things that I've tried to fix and I can't. And then for some of us, we've followed God for a long time, but oftentimes we like to hold on to things tightly. God, work in these areas of my life, but don't touch my job. God, work in this area of life, but don't touch my family. God, work in my life, but don't touch this relationship that I know is unhealthy for me. Today, would we trust and let God rewrite areas of our life that are broken and hurting, and be willing to trust him to move in areas that are oftentimes hard to let go of? The second thing. This week, I would challenge you to know your story. You can't share something that you don't know. And if we're honest, a lot of us, we might sit back and have no idea of what God has even done in our lives. See, for me, I sat in church my whole life. And up until college, where I began to realize what was really going on, I just thought that, you know, God was cool and working in my life, but I had no idea of what my story really was. And if we're honest, some of us really wouldn't even be able to communicate and share what God has done, what he's been, what he's brought you through. And again, if you don't know your story, how are you ever going to share it? You can't communicate something that you don't know yourself. And the third thing is this. This week, would you share your story? Stop waiting. Stop putting it off, hoping that you have to be finished and complete and who God made you to be, and then you can share. Because the truth is, we're going to be learning and growing and understanding more of who God is until the day that we see him. We will never be a finished work until we're with him. Start sharing now. God has done something in your life up to this point that is worth sharing about. And if not, start having an authentic, life-changing relationship with him where he will begin to change you and give you something to share. Some of us, we might even walk in and we're ashamed of our story. We're embarrassed of things that we've been addicted to. We're embarrassed of things that might have happened to us. We just feel ashamed that these things have happened to us. And that if we share them, people will judge us. People will think that we've somehow messed up and distorted who God is. But today, God can redeem anything that has happened in your story to this point if you let him. There is nothing too big or great that God cannot use and cannot speak through and make whole again. And again, if we're honest, there's a lot of things in church that oftentimes we think are like bad and you shouldn't talk about. And like if you struggle with it, just like hide it and don't deal with it. But if we're honest, there's plenty of people in this room who probably have a similar story to you. And if you're willing to share it, you'll find out that actually you encourage someone else. And as you do, you'll find someone else who's kind of had a similar story. And you can work together and encourage each other and push each other and help each other continue on in that story that God is writing in your life. See, for some of you, your story is full of pain and of hurt. And you just choose not to deal with it. And you continue to sweep it under the rug. And you think that by putting on this great front when you come to church and when you talk about God, that's great, but really you're not letting him engage that area of hurt and of pain, and you choose to stay angry, and you choose to stay bitter, and you choose to stay hurt. And the problem with that is you will never be able to share that if you just continue to let it fester and stay in your life. Again, no matter what we've gone through, pain, hurt, things of the past that we've done, addictions, there is no need to be ashamed of them because we serve a God who is full of grace and mercy and is writing a new story in our life that has the best things yet to come for us still. And if that's the case, would you let him work in your life and change your heart and shape it and give you a story to tell? This week we've been encouraging you throughout the series to first pray for somebody by name and then to serve that person this last week and to care for them and give them a call and see how they're doing. This week we would encourage you to share your story with that person. Again, for me, I've been praying for another one of the coaches that I coach with, and so started praying for him, and then oftentimes at baseball, I get there and I'm tired and I know that I've worked already and then I have like youth group later that night or a meeting or something and I'm like, oh, it's baseball again. But I've made sure to go out of my way in serving him and riding with him on the cart and staying an extra 30 minutes at practice to help drag the field or to get the buckets and load the cart for him so he doesn't have to do it that day. And the cool part has been in those couple extra minutes, we've actually begun to engage in honest conversations about church and God and what that is. He's opened up about his experience with church and why he doesn't go anymore and he's written it off. But in that moment, I've had the opportunity to share what church could be and what it should be and what healthy church and honestly, more than anything, knowing God looks like. If you've been taking the time to pray for people and earn the right to be heard this week, share with them. Because if you've been doing that, I promise you, God will open an opportunity for you to be able to share what he's doing in your life. God's desire is for everyone to know him. So if we're willing, he's going to make a way for us to do that. I'm going to just ask Katie to come up and play. And she just left, so actually she's not going to. This is great. What we're going to do instead, actually I like this better, we're just going to pause for a few moments. No music, no keyboard, Nothing. And if you look on your connection card today, you'll see an opportunity for you to write your story. We're going to give you a few moments. Pause. Think about what God has been to this point in your life. Write it out. Formulate it. Get it on paper. I'm terrible at grammar and writing. People make fun of my writing all the time. But I find that if I get my thoughts on paper, it helps me process and think it through. So we're just going to give you a few moments to write down what God has been to this point in your life. What is the story that God is giving you to share? And again, for some of you today, it might simply be, my story at this point has been, today I've decided to let God finally have control of my life. I've surrendered it to him. I'm excited to see what's to come. Or maybe for some of us, it's that I've been holding on to this for a long time, and today I'm going to finally let God work in this area of my life and change it. For some of us, it's been, I've been in this place, and God has brought me from it, and that has given me hope. Again, for all of us, our story is going to look completely different today. So I'm just going to pray, and then we'll give you a few moments to write that down. God, today, we thank you for who you are, God, that you are the great story writer. And God, your story is of bringing life in areas of brokenness and pain. And God, you continue to rewrite the story, God, of life in our lives. Lord, today may we be willing to give you space to work in our lives. Lord, may we be willing to engage you in a way that is authentic. God, may we be willing to trust you and to give you control of our lives. And God, as you do that, I pray that we would be willing to share what you're doing in our lives, how you're changing us, how you're setting us free. And Lord, as we do that and as we plant seeds, may you add the increase to our work. May you draw people to yourself. God, may people come to know you and the hope and the life that you have planned for them. In your name I pray, amen.